I desire the Lord to bless his word. This is something that's been on my heart for some time. And I don't recall ever having a series of messages along this line. So I need the Lord to give the inspiration and give right words and understanding. And I think that it's a fairly popular subject. How many of us here this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, but just as presenting it to your mind, how many of us are interested in the work of God? How many of us want to see the kingdom advanced?
Yes.
And how many of us are challenged? And when did it start? And how did we begin? Well, I believe there is a beginning and there is an end result. And what I feel the Lord has given me is going to take several times, because there are phases that I think the Lord wants us to grasp hold of and be encouraged. I tried a few weeks ago in an afternoon service, I tried to have a Bible study on the beginning of this, and I felt it failed. I don't think it worked. So felt like that the Lord said it was time to go ahead and just give it as a message. There are phases of the work of the Lord. It is not all missionary work. It is not all preaching. There are many phases that God takes us through. I don't know if I wrote this down, but I read it. That what the Lord does in preparing his people to be in the work of God, they pass through many places of trials and tests. Oh, living for God is you're going to pass through trials and tests. But when it comes to God choosing and selecting and calling, he takes that vessel and he does some proving. And it's necessary for each one to fit in the body as it pleaseth him. If we are out of joint, if we are not in that place, if we choose the place we want and not God, we become a misfit. Do you believe that? We have seen it. And we can be innocent in it. We can have desire and it be pure. But what does the scripture say? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so we want the Lord to build the house and place the members in the body as it pleaseth him. I'm going to ask you a question now. Does God need us to do his work? I'm sure you would say yes. But I want you to consider one side of God. because I'm going to say no. He doesn't have to have me to do his work. Here's what a commentary said in answer to that question. The God of the Bible is one who does not need us at all. In theological language, divine aseity, a new word, it's a Latin word that literally means from himselfness. Get a hold of that. God is all sufficient in himself. Do you believe that? God is the fullness of everlasting life in and of himself. Well, let's answer the question, yes, God needs us. And I think it's a right answer too. But look at the creation. Did any man help God in the creation? Assist him? No. Within himself, from himselfness, God created all things by the spoken word. Let this happen, and it happened. He set the whole universe into place, created it by his spoken word. So did God need man? No. The answer is no. So I want to also consider, last Sunday we were speaking about vessels and how that God sets the members in, not the members, sets up kings and he takes down kings. Does people understand that when it happens? Probably not. And you and I are in a world, in our society, where we know the day that we get to vote, and if we have convictions or not convictions, we do as we feel, but we may think the people set this president in order and took down another. We may think that. But the bottom line is God in himselfness. We believe and teach, and the word supports it, that he has all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. And that he does rule in the governments of men. And we gave that last Sunday. How that every government in every nation, whether they're at odds with each other or in whatever part that they play on the field of, or on the stage, you might say, of the world, God is still in control. How often have we said that? Do we believe it?
Yes.
We believe it. We go then to the work of God and to the church of God, and we teach and believe because the word says it, that the government is on his shoulder. And yet we are human beings and we're participants in the body of Christ and in the church of God. And we look around and we begin to make our own judgments, and we say this needs to be done and that needs to be done, and that's not always a bad thing. But we must let the Spirit of God be the ruler and the setter in motion. We believe that when it comes to the order of our services, I don't know that all generations in the past did it exactly as we do it, but it has come down to us, and this is the order that we follow, and God in some way is pleased with that and works with it, and he gives the messages. We believe that. We believe that we do not go and learn how to preach, don't we? And we believe, and I've told this in the congregation before, when I was working in the school and getting the mail here, one time in all of those years, I got this advertisement about these volumes of books that had messages prepared, outlines, stories, each message. It looked so easy. I'm young in the ministry. I know the struggle. I know the battle of getting the mind of the Lord. I want to tell you, if a message is not prayed down, it won't be anointed of the Spirit. Moses said to the children of Israel, he said, "This thing was not of my own mind." When he was sent to bring the children of Israel out, it wasn't because he thought of it. His little method of trying to restore and recover and save his people failed. And he had to wait 40 years for God to temper him and put him in a position that he could fit him into the work of God. Now, I'm not saying we've got to wait 40 years. I'm not saying that. But God does take time to work with us, to temper us, to shape us, mold us, fashion us, and bring us through like we had in the Sunday school lesson. He brings us through the fire. And then he makes us a vessel that can be used to his glory. So, does God need us? Yes, he needs us, but he needs us to be in a place that he can use us in his way, in his purpose. I think about, we sometimes say it to one another, that the scripture says it, that we're ambassadors. We're servants. But we might say, God uses my hands as his hands. He's not here. Christ is not here. And so he had his disciples fill those places when he left. So yes, God needs us. He wants us to be his eyes. He wants us to be his ears. This is part of the work of God. It's the beginning. It's the foundation. It's really not the beginning. I'll tell you the beginning. The beginning of the work of God in you is when he convicted you. When he brought to your heart sorrow for the sins that you committed. For your failures. That's the beginning. That's where Jesus gave his all. Gave his life. And that all men could be and is should be saved. That's the beginning of the work of God. It began in me and in you. And that is the true foundation of the work of God in the earth. When it starts with me. When it changes me. When he makes me a new creature. In Christ, I didn't just turn over a new leaf. I didn't one day decide this is what I want to do. No, the Spirit of the Lord must draw a man or a woman to be saved. The scripture says that. Must draw us. But it doesn't stop there. There's another phase. After we are redeemed and cleansed from our sins, we begin to walk the straight and the narrow way, and we begin to recognize my humanity, that I need something more, that I need a second work of grace. We call it that. I remember Sister Velda, and many of you would not remember her, but I want to testify for Sister Velda. She was in Louisiana with her husband and her two boys, and she went to church with her father. Another church. She was convicted in that service. She went to the altar. She got saved. And she went back to her seat. And there was something that spoke to her. You've got to have something more to make it. She went back to the altar that day. She did not understand sanctification and the being and filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit knew about it. Sister Velda was a profitable, she was profitable, a blessing in this congregation. She lived the life. She had a victorious life. And a victorious death. Young. And we miss her. But the Spirit of the Lord doesn't lead us wrong. He led her. You need this now to make it. And I'm going to say this morning, as part of the work of God, you need both salvation and sanctification, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a part or used by God without both redemption and being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's vital to the work of God. So those are the real foundations of God's work. And then it goes into, use my hands, help, use my feet, cause me to go. Use me. And you start out like a little babe. Do you believe that? You're not going to get saved and sanctified and jump way over here. There's a process. There are phases. There are steps vital to your preparation to be placed in the body, even in the world. There's steps. So now I'm going to read a scripture, and it just, John 6:28-29, and it says, what is the work of God? Then they said, the answer was, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now that's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question and should be for each one of us. Lord, where do you want me? What do you want me to do in this world? We spoke in Sunday school. We said this is not going down a road of flowery beds of ease. And we speak about going through the water and through the fire. And all of these things are in preparation for God to use you as a vessel in his kingdom. But here's the answer. Jesus is the one that answered it. This is the work of God. Oh, it sounds so simple. Now we've got the answer. What is the work of God? What should I do in order that I do the works of God? And Jesus gave the answer. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he sent. Is that all there is to the work of God? No. But it's also a foundation. Yes. That I believe in everything that God says he will do, in his word, in his commandments, whatever he has instructed us, I receive it into my life and I believe it. That is the work of God. Yes. At that stage of your walk, at that phase. And it must develop and grow. What is believing? Faith. And that is the commandment. Have faith in God. Yes. And believe. And it too will develop and grow, and it too will go into different phases as you go. So the work of God begins in us in simple believing in everything that God says about himself and what he will do and all of the commandments are you going to learn it all at one time? I don't say that to be discouraging. I say that to encourage us. So this is one of the phases. I'd like to back up just a little bit and say this. Never get the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse. I said that wrong, didn't I? We want the horse to lead. But we don't want to get the cart before the horse. It won't work. We need to go through these phases and these processes and allow this. It's a school. Oh, maybe the world believes in going to a school. We do too. We're in the school of the Lord. And the teacher is the Holy Spirit. And that is part of the phase of the work of God, is to be able to know the voice of the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit, to be taught of the Spirit. He said that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. And for me to be a part of the work of God, I must be in all truth. You believe that? That's part of the work of God in me. Taking me to wherever he is leading. I think I said this in that little Bible study. You know, we are emotional beings. And we can be very emotional. We can get emotional at camp meeting. We can be stirred up in our spirits. I remember when I was young and young married and had two babies, and this is a trick of the enemy. You never do enough. Go to camp meeting, and at that time there was the Huskies that were working down in Mexico, and they were up and giving all of these reports. Missionary work can be exciting. Do you believe it? Oh, it takes effort, but when you come back from it, don't you look on it with pleasure some way? I mean, what little bit that I have worked with in going to like Germany or Austria, it was an effort to go, but yet when I came back, I was so glad. So there's nothing wrong with us having pleasure. Not earthly pleasure. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But anyway, everyone was excited about the Mexico work. And many people were moved, whether by the Spirit or whether by their own emotions. I'm not here to judge that. But there became a number of people that went down to Mexico and entered into the work of God, the missionary work. Our own sister Opal Kelly, and she was up in years, old, and she received a call to go to Mexico. Well, those of us that we're not qualified, I'm going to put it that way. We're still growing. We're still developing. We want to get in on it. You understand what I'm trying to say? And we are far from ready. I was far from ready of entering into any kind of the work of God. I'm back here a babe. I am a mother. I want you to understand the part of the work of God is in that. Yes, yes. As much as it is in going to wherever. If you're faithful in the work of God's placed you, that's your field. That's your place. Be faithful in your place. He'll always put you in another place when it's time. But it was discouraging to me when I was young. I didn't have the understanding as I do today. So, I wrote down that no man can be a servant nor enter into the work of God without this first work. Much development, much growth, much learning happens in this particular phase. No man can be called of God to the work of the church except he be sanctified holy, cleansed of the sin nature, and received the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
This is that second work, and ye shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it is come upon you. So we must believe, as God, as Jesus said, that's the work of God, is to believe. Now I'm going to read Philippians 1, 6 through 7. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We have a song that says, he's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. He made the sun and the moon, what is it, 7 days? Or what was in that song? Help me. Yes. How patient he must be. I want to tell you and testify and proclaim that God has been very patient with me. He has helped me when I failed. Have you ever failed? Oh, our God is real. He's real in our soul. So, again, I want to stress the power of the Holy Spirit in the work of God. For it to be effective, it's the only way. A major step in this particular phase is Matthew 11 and 29, and I'm just going to paraphrase some of that for the sake of time. He says one little phrase in that verse. He says, "Learn of me." We cannot enter into the work of God effectively until we acquaint ourselves with Him. Till we learn of Him. Till we know the mind of the Spirit. Until we understand His workings with man and with the church and the government. All of these things we learn of Him. And then He says in that same passage, "Take my yoke upon me," upon you. Have you taken the yoke of the Lord upon you? You know what a yoke is. Most of us have never driven a yoke of an oxen. We can read about it, but that's it. We haven't been pioneers. But in a yoke, generally there were two together, and they worked together. And when Jesus is here saying, "You take this yoke upon you, because I'm going to be on the other side, and I will guide you, and I will place you where you are most effective." Thank the Lord. God is desiring that we know His very nature and His character before we enter into these places that we must learn to trust. I've been affected by the counsel that Brother Curtis gave me. And his counsel was, have divine trust. When you don't feel like it, when you don't hear His voice, when you don't feel His presence, are you going to be there? If you haven't experienced it, I'm going to tell you, you will. There will come places that you will wonder, is God still with me? But because the word of the Lord says what it says, we believe it and trust in it. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So whether I feel it or whether I don't, I have divine trust. Get acquainted with God and His very nature and His word. There is another scripture in that same passage. He says, "I am meek and lowly." And He's saying, "I want you to be meek and lowly too." Isn't that what that says? What I am, I want you to be. Doesn't He say, "Be ye holy as I am holy"? Yeah. He says, these kind of things that I am, I want you to be. And so here He says, "I am meek and I'm lowly." I want you to learn how. I want you to allow my Spirit to temper you. Don't you know that God is the potter? That you are the clay? That I am the clay? That He takes us and he fashions and molds us into vessels. And the scripture there says that sometimes the vessel mars. You remember the story that I've told before. Oh, I won't go into it, the long version of it for sure. That this woman had a dream. She was in a broken place. She saw this little hut out in the field, and the door was open. She went to the door, and here was a potter that was working with the clay. As he was working with this vessel, there were vessels behind him, finished vessels, beautiful vessels, and one of those vessels just fell down in the floor and broke. And the potter took that vessel, he dipped his hand in a molten liquid, and he mended that vessel, put it back together, set it back up there, and then turned to the woman and he said, "Blessed is the one that is broken by the Holy Spirit and mended than the one that is never broken." I want to tell you, God uses our brokenness sometimes to his glory, where he can use us. Sometimes that very broken place can help you in the work of God when you meet somebody else that's in a broken place. I understand. I've been there. I know what you're feeling. That helps individuals to have somebody that says, "I know what that feels like." And God uses those things in his kingdom. So, I'm going to draw close to the end now. Thank you for your patience with me, but I'm going to give you Matthew 22 and verses 37 through 40. And again, it's familiar to us, but it's part of the work of God. It's part of the foundation of entering into the work of God, and it is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. You cannot be in the work of God unless you love God with all of your being. And he wins us. He loved us before we loved him. He taught us how to love. He teaches us how to love even now. And then it says that was the first and great commandment. And then it goes on and it says, and I want to tell you, you can't be in the work of God without this also. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. No way can you carry a burden for a lost soul unless you love with the love of God. It's part of the work of God. It's the foundational part of the work of God. And for you to desire to be a part of the work of God, seek for more love in your heart. Seek for God's love to be in your heart. Until love becomes our theme and heart's delight. I wrote that down. Until love becomes our purpose and our desire. To love those that despise us. To love those who persecute us. To love those who oppose us. You cannot be effective in the work of God without that kind of love. Ending with a question. What is the primary sign of faith to the outside world. I'll ask it again. Wake up. Get your eyes open.
That you have love one toward another.
That you have love one towards another. It centers on that love, doesn't it? But I'm still going to ask the question. What is the primary sign of faith to the outside world? Now, the work of God is here. The work of God is within the body of Christ. It is within the church of God. But it's out there also. It's not only here. Now, we have commandments, and we're going to talk about those at another time. I'll be preaching this afternoon on the next phase. The primary sign that you have faith is that you love one another as I have loved you, and love your neighbor that's out there. The ending scripture is John 13 and 35. And I'm just going to also paraphrase it. It indicates, this verse indicates, obedience is the primary sign of our love for God. You know what the scripture says, don't you? If ye love me, what will ye do?
Keep my commandments.
His commandments, and it says, my commandments are not grievous. And he says, this is the work of God. This is the foundation of the work of God. You want to be used in God's kingdom? There's a way that everyone finds their place in the body. But these are prerequisites. This all has to be done first. Day by day, living for God. The scripture says line upon line, precept upon precept. God does not work hastily. God is not a driver. He is the shepherd. He leads. If you feel driven, question that. Be careful if you're feeling driven, okay? That's our thought for this morning, and Lord willing, we'll go into the next phase this afternoon. I desire your prayers.